The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is brought to you by Paddy Power, home of the Money Back Special.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go, and so it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show on a Monday, supported by Paddy Power. JJ is here in studio with me and Damien is on the line. And Damien, I'm going to start with you because you made a comment here about a month ago and you said Munster Hurling is more skillful and Leinster Hurling is more manly and tougher. I think you were proved right after yesterday.
Yeah, well, I knew that the Munster final was going to be a classic, so I actually predicted that there'd be 60 scores. I knew it would be a kind of like a shootout, so I was proved right, because it was brilliant. It was actually a game of two halves, the Munster final between Cork and Clare, where Clare came out of the blocks at the start and they went 8 points up, and basically Cork took over in the second half, and someone said it was a 15-point overhaul, where in the Leinster, I've always felt that Leinster hurling is a lot tougher and a lot stronger, where Munster hurling is a lot faster, a lot slicker, a lot more skillful, and that is just my opinion. Like, there's other brilliant pundits out there that will know a lot more about hurling than I will, but that's just what I've always felt. I've always thought Munster final day, or even some Munster games, they've been absolute classics, where in Leinster it's just a lot more tougher. Even you take Wexford versus Kilkenny last year down in Wexford Park, like, that was another fierce physical game. And even JJ will tell you, anytime Galway and Kilkenny played in any of them Leinster games down in Leinster, I remember one particular game, I think it was our very first game that Galway played in Leinster, was against Kilkenny in Tullamore. Like, it was an extremely physical game. So that was just my opinion, and I stand over it. And I thought there were actually two great games of hurling yesterday, but two completely different games of hurling in every sense, you know, with skill levels. And then in the Galway Kilkenny game, I've never seen so much feel in the air. My God, it was unbelievable. You wouldn't see it in football. Yeah. You wouldn't. But that was just my own opinion, and I stand over it.
JJ, is it a different type of skill, where the high fetching is obviously a huge skill of the game? You can play Munster teams, obviously, when they come out of Munster, and outskill them. Is it just a Leinster thing that you rattle into each other and it's more cagey, or is this
I suppose it's if you look at the two different teams, Kilkenny and Galway play the exact same way. It's not sharp passes, it's kind of get the ball in the half back line, get it down to the field, down the other end of the field as probably as quickly as possible. They're not really kind of measure ball in, and that's where probably the feeling comes into play. And you've seen Kilkenny backs were very good there yesterday of catching ball, because the high looping ball was coming down on top of them and they played into their hands really. But then you look at Cork and Clare, very, very quick, very, very young. Cork probably a very, very young team as well, but they move it through the lines to get the ball in the halfback line, hit it towards midfield. It's all 20 or 30 yard passing, and then trying to get into the space, you know, that kind of way. Whereas probably if Kilkenny or Galway were playing Cork or Clare yesterday, their halfback line would have stayed and it would have stopped any spaces in behind in for the Cork full four line in to run into. So it probably a bit tactic wise that the halfback lines of both Kilkenny and Galway stay back, they don't go man to man, and if their players go out the field, it's up to someone else to pick them up. And the whole team ethos is there, that right, I'm doing the best for our particular team, I'm staying back half back, but you pick up my man if he goes out there. He'll only be out there for 2 or 3 minutes, pick him up for the 2 or 3 minutes, he'll come back in towards me, and then we'll get reset and we'll go again. That's right. What usually happens. But with Cork and Clare, you've probably seen they probably went man to man, and anywhere where their man went, they just abandoned position, just went man to man instead.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about tactics in part two, because, well, I'm on the Munster bandwagon now, lads. I was down at the Munster final yesterday, and it was an incredible atmosphere, incredible game, and incredible occasion, and I've caught the Munster hurling bug. I'm sorry, lads, but I absolutely have. So quickly, the replay is for Turles, so which a lot of people are complaining about, that it's obviously a concert in Croke Park. John Horne was on Morning Ireland this morning at the qualifier draw, and he said he's going to stop this practice of events, bands playing in Croke Park during the championship, which is a no-brainer, really. This isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, this isn't good enough for the players. It's not the end of the world going to Turles, because it's a brilliant ground and it's fantastic atmosphere created there. But Waterford weren't allowed to play in Nolan Park, right?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in the same province. And now the Leinster Munster match has been moved. Now, in fairness, it's the Munster Council that didn't allow Waterford play in Nolan Park, and it's the Leinster Council that's fixing this one. Yeah. So, like, I mean, there's no joint, a lot of criticism of the GA, there's no joined up thinking, there's no consistency.
But do the Munster Council have a bit more say than the Leinster Council in that sense of the word? You don't know, or were they just too proud to let it outside the county, and the Leinster Council were looking at it, right, we'll get more people in it, better stadium, and we'll work way off there. But look, again, as what Damien touched on earlier on, our first game against Galway, we played up in Tullamore, and it was a cracking atmosphere as well, absolutely brilliant. I'd say if they got that back there again into Tullamore, it would have been probably a sellout again, and great atmosphere again, you know, that kind of way. But whether they'll get, they won't get the same atmosphere as, say, Cork and Clare got there last Sunday. I don't think they will.
Do you not think so?
I don't think so. No, they won't fill it as much, you know.
Well, if it's 40,000 at it, but there's only 45 at Clare, Cork.
If you had the Joe McDonough Cup run before, there was a lot of Westmead and a lot of Carlow people there as well, like, to be fair. Like, you know, you see him just walking around the stadium, you see the jerseys there, and you see the Westmead jerseys there as well. So if you take that out of account, now a few more might go because it's a bit closer there as well, but there'll probably be more games on next weekend as well. Like, so it'll be interesting to see, but I can't see it filling the place, to be honest with you.
I don't know, Damien. I'm kind of looking forward to Kilkenny and Galway sampling this magic of the Munster Championship.
Yeah, well, look at it. Turles is like a home pitch and to Kilkenny, because Kilkenny have played there so many times over the years.
Have they?
Then this is a new matchup. Kilkenny have played Tipperary in the World of League finals there as well. So, but that's irrelevant, Colin, because this is a new Kilkenny team. You know, and that's being honest. So, I actually thought the game would be on until more. I'd have to be honest and say I didn't think that the game would be on in a Munster venue in Turles. It makes sense. Turles is an hour from Portumna, just to give an example, where it's probably nearly the same, I suppose, even less. To Kilkenny City, you know, but I thought the game would be on in Tullamore, and as JJ said there, there would be an absolutely unbelievable atmosphere down in Tullamore for a Leinster final. It was interesting to see when the match was blowing up yesterday and was a draw, right? And it was interesting, the cameras went straight on to Micheál Donoghue and the cameras went on to Brian Cody. I don't think either manager knew whether there was actually extra time or not, you know, and it's now going to be very, very difficult. It's actually very important who's going to win this game, because whoever loses has to play the following week, and more than likely will win that game, so they will, and then it's to play the following week again. So it's going to be literally 4 weeks in a row for whoever's going to lose this game. So obviously enough, it's very important whoever to try win the Leinster final, but whoever loses is going to have 3 weeks in a row after this. So it's going to be a tough time to hit the loser.
No, it will. And Galway have under 21 game next weekend as well, this weekend. Yeah. So it's not going according to plan for Galway.
But the only thing is, you know, on that, right? And we're not making excuses right here, but there isn't too many under 21 players on the Galway team there on the actual senior team. There's a couple of subs.
Yeah, six on the panel, I was reading.
There's six on the panel, but there's nothing to complain about, or there's nothing to make an excuse about with the under 21. So most of the Galway team is all senior based players.
Right, okay. Another one I learned yesterday, and I'm learning on this hurling show still, even after 2 years, there's things I didn't know. So Conor Cleary threw the hurl. Was it Leahan that was true, or Kingston?
Yeah, Leahan. Yeah. Leahan.
He threw the hurl at him first, and I know that's illegal, but he hooked the bloody ball with his, hurl with his hand. I didn't know. That's illegal. That's legal to do that.
It's legal, yeah.
You can't pull the hurl.
It's not really advised to do it, to be honest with you, but it is legal, all right. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like,
once you hook it, then you're on too bad. Do you know what I mean? You can use your hurl, your foot, your leg, and all once you doesn't get clean striking it, you're doing your job.
There's a thin line between hooking it with your hand and actually grabbing it.
Yeah, if you grabbed it, it would be a free, right? But if you hooked him, then you have no problem. If you want to put your hand or your head in there, whatever you want to do, it's up to yourself.
Jeez, he caught up on him well, Damien. Have you ever been hooked by a hand?
No, I was actually never hooked with a hand. But
you're always too quick, Damien, aren't you?
I was electrifying fast. So I was. But come here, he didn't actually throw the hurl, just to be fair to Conor Fury. He went to flick the ball away. No, he went to flick the ball away, and when he went to flick it across the hurl, he lost the hurl, just to be right. But he sprinted back, it was one of the greatest passages of play in the Munster final, and he sprinted back, and next thing, just when, I think it was Leahan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was like, and Leahan threw up his head, and he got back so quick that put it in his hand, and he got the hook, so it went up along his wrist. But you're asking me, would I ever hook before with a hand? I was, but I give you a worse one, Colin. we played Wexford one time down at Nolan Park in a league match, and the ball came straight into the full forward. I happened to be at the edge of the box, and the ball bounced in front of me, and I caught the ball on the bounce as I turned, and I turned Declan Ruth from Wexford, and I was going straight in on Damien Fitzhenry, and I had absolutely lost, and I threw up the ball to put the ball, as I would call it, to the roof. And Declan Root threw the hurl from behind like an arrow, and he hooked me. He hooked me, if you know what I mean.
A flying and hurl hooked ball him.
Yeah, exactly. He threw the hurl and he hooked me, and the ball went out wide, and it was an unbelievable bit of skill that he was able to throw the hurl and hook me. And Nan was the manager for the time, and Nan went absolutely bananas how I missed this goal. But bananas, I don't know whether I'm describing that well enough or not, but he was from behind, threw the hurl, and it actually hooked me from behind. So, and right. That was the worst that ever happened to me. I was never hooked by a hand, yeah. But I was hooked by a diving hurl.
Jesus. Well, that's illegal, obviously. That was obviously wasn't spotted by the ref. Any hand?
Declan Ruth got away with it anyway. We laughed over it about 2 minutes later, but I wasn't laughing directly afterwards.
That's a hometown decision down in Wexford Park. What about you, JJ? Any hand hooking? Or
I often tried to throw the hurler, right, but I was never really as accurate as Declan Ruth, to be honest with you. It's kind of a last desperation, isn't it? There's nothing more you can do on it. You were trying to flick the hurl and hope that's the ideal situation. Declan Ruth did. He thrown the hurl, yeah. And he got. But I'm assuming, did he get away with Damien, or was it? Was it a free or?
He threw it. I remember it well. He threw the hurl. He was about 10 yards behind me, and he threw it, and, you know, just threw it into the area where I was going to hit it, and he actually hooked me. And next thing, the ball dribbled out one, and he put it back into the net. And as I said to you, look, Nan was our manager at the time. They were down in Nolan Park in Wexford. And the same day actually Wexford absolutely hockeyed us, but it was an unbelievable piece of skill, as I said, but I missed the goal.
Here, can I ask the two of you a question here, and this is just after popping into my head. Did you ever trip a lad up with the hurley, like, you know, like you would with a bicycle, sticking it in straight through the leg? Yeah, would you ever do that?
You're putting on the ground all right now. Again, last ditch scenario, you're going to have to try and pull him down as much as possible. You're not going to reach him with your hand.
Stick the hurley in the legs.
And you're hoping the hurl doesn't break either, just in case it's nice on.
Colm, JJ did that to me in the 2012 All Ireland.
He did not.
You tripped over my hurl, see
it. I say myself, many a lad tripped over your hurl.
Right, well, this is very interesting.
So I was never going to catch you, Damien, so I had to do something at the time.
he tripped me all right, and the Kilkenny boys started running over to the referee. I think it was Barry Kelly that was referring it. Or something like that.
Barry wasn't going to do us any favours anyway, Damien, wasn't he? Barry Kelly wasn't going to do us any favours.
They keep fighting over it like a pack, and they all start telling them they died, bringing the diving into the game, so yeah.
You know that?
So not only not only has JJ tripped you up with the hurl, the Kilkenny lads run over to pressurise the referee and tell the referee that you dived.
Should have got yellow card for it. Like, it was terrible.
This is all starting to become very clear to me here now.
What happened, Colm? So next thing, we all retired anyways, right? We all retired and went out to grass. JJ's club did have what we call a testimonial game to say thank you to JJ for all the brilliant memories down his own home club pitch. Do you remember this, JJ?
Yeah.
Right? And next thing, Martin Fogarty was the manager, so we'll call him the guest manager. So they brought down what we call all-stars and retired hurlers all over the country to play this match. So next thing, anyways, Martin Fogarty was the manager, and he showed this clip and it was a JJ tripping me, and next thing, all the kids were running in like this, and next thing, Martin Fogarty, well, I would say now, hey,
if
I
were
to say to JJ now,
he goes,
no, we have you now.
Classic. Alright, so there's go on.
Do you remember it, JJ?
I do, yeah. It's in the dressing room. Mort put out the laptop there. So what is he going to show now?
Yeah. Well, I want video evidence of this. We're going to have to get... We'll try and get our hands on this, JJ, tripping you up with a hurl. And then having the cheek to accuse you of diving. A man has never dived in his life, Damien. A man that's... Where's his heart?
Until you see the footage, will you? You know that. You're innocent and proven guilty. You have to see the footage first. You're only taking Damien's word for this now.
Wally, I'm going to say around the 20th minute, around the centre back line, in around number 6 position, ball broke and I got it, and JJ came in, And now, oh, Butter wouldn't
you shouldn't have been out that far and out the field, you know that?
Jeez, lads, we could do a full show on this incident. This is sensational. Like, I mean, Jesus, to think. I mean, there's so many different layers to this. The filth and then the cover up of the filth.
Colm, all you need to do is, if you need me to back it up, or if you need anyone to clarify, all you have to do is bring Lara Corp and ask him about Jacob.
That's all you have to do. To defend my character in this way, you're not going to paint me a very, very bad way here, Sarah, Damien.
You've really continued on the tone. You outed JJ on our very first podcast, yeah. Damien, as being no angel, and you're continuing on. You have a lot of baggage here.
You have, yeah.
Was there any angel in that Kilkenny backline,
whether
Jackson
Turner,
Tommy
Ward,
JJ Delaney,
ball players, that's all we were.
But I will say one thing about them all, to give them all a compliment. Everyone, them are all winners, and fair play to them. And they won All Ireland like men for this, so fair play to them.
They were great players. Come here, another thing. I didn't realise that Patrick Horgan was such a cult hero amongst the Cork supporters. My God, I was sitting in around Cork supporters, and every single thing, I go on, Hoggy boy, go on, Hoggy boy. And the ball mightn't even be delivered at this stage. Give it into Hoggy boy. And like, I mean, the minute Hoggy gets the ball in his hand, it's a point.
It is, yeah.
Like, it's unreal, this fella.
But you know,
like,
how good he is, you know. I said the Cork supporters know how good he is. Yeah. The way they're playing this as well is suiting him down the ground, because they're bouncing ball right in front of him.
Yeah.
And if he gets the ball in his hand, he can twist left or right. He's so comfortable. Yeah. And we were speaking on the podcast before about people hitting off the back foot.
Yeah.
You'll never see Patrick Horgan getting blocked down, because he goes back so far and generates some of the power all from the wrist. He's just an unbelievable hurdle to watch, and to mark, he's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. No, I'd say he is a nightmare. But like, I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like, it was all about Hoggy. It was nothing about any of the others, really. Even Lehan, now he was quiet, but it was all about Hoggy.
He's done it for years, in fairness. Yeah. How long is he there now? And he's just consistently doing this day in and day out now. Yeah. He's just a fabulous player.
Or maybe he's just a funny nickname, and Hoggy rolls off the tongue a bit quicker. Another quick one, Damien.
No, down in Cork, Colm, they're all Hoggies down there. Any Horgan is a Hoggy.
Right.
No, that's the truth. That's just down in Cork. Anyone that's a Horgan is a Hoggy. But I have to agree with you. The man would make you sick. See, what you'd be watching him there hurling, and you'd be comparing you to him as a corner forward, and he's coming out to balls and throwing balls over the bar, and he's sticking balls, and he's just I have to say, he's just absolutely brilliant at the moment. I mean, you have to remember, right, last year, you know, his confidence was being affected last year during the league, where he was dropped. If you can all remember that, he was dropped in last year's league, and also the frees were taken off him. So he's knuckles down, he's put the head down, he's maybe put in a little bit more effort and work rate on that. The man is just absolutely brilliant. That's all I'd say. I think he's absolutely class.
No, he definitely is. We might give him another mention in performance of the weekend. Another quick one here, lads, is Donal Maloney. So I went in, I had no accreditation, so I'd arranged with the Munster PRO that the press box was full. I said, once I can get a seat, I'm okay and get a bit of reaction. And I talked to Seamus Harnady after the game, and we'll bring you that now just in a minute. But in the seat I was in, it must have been about 10, 12 rows back, Donal Maloney was about 5 seats across from me, and he was sitting beside a fella from the backroom team. But on the other side of him was some degenerate from Cork. And your man had the arm around him at one stage, whispered, telling him where he was going wrong. And I was just thinking, like, why is Donal Maloney having to be put up with this fella? Like, how is there not arrangements made that he's not getting tormented by it? He ended up being a bit of an altercation between the two of them, because your man was annoying him. Do you know what I mean?
He was doing his bit for his county, wasn't he? The Cork
he was, yeah. But another thing, now, having said that, I might be doing him a disservice. He could have been from Clare, and he could be equally annoying by giving him advice. He was wearing no colours. But I was just thinking that, like, I was at a level that it was fairly close to pitch side with brilliant seats.
Yeah.
But I think if a manager goes into a stand, he really needs to go a bit higher than that, maybe even to the press box or somewhere where you get a really good vantage point. It just didn't look, it seemed a little bit amateur.
Yeah,
you know,
was there room simply saying that you could actually go for the managers there? You know, I know they brought in the Davy box there a couple of years ago for him. Like, maybe that's supposed to come in every ground, because it is become a lot more common that one of the backroom team, now that wouldn't be the manager, one of the backroom team go up there and they have an advantage there. I'm presuming they have one in Croagh Park there as well. But like, maybe they're going to have to just have these just secluded rooms that can go up. You see the rugby guys, they have a fantastic view of it, and maybe they're going to have to go down the road of that. that and just have, because look, it's very, very hard to concentrate in the game. The game's so quick as well, let alone having someone in your ear telling you what changes
oh
to
make.
Oh
my God, like, I mean,
I did that in the pub that night, telling, oh, I was beside the Clare manager telling him what changes to make there. Look, I mean, it's madness, like.
It was unbelievable. Another thing then, so I watched the Munster final. I hung around for ages for Seamus Harnady, because Seamus Harnady won man of the match, and I'm sure you're well used to this, JJ. I've won man of the match the odd time myself, and I'm sure you have, Damien. If you win man of the match, RTE or Sky are in after you like a flash, and they're so aggressive, they'll get you off the field, and you actually don't get a chance to celebrate with your team at all, because you're pulled into that, and you never put up a fuss because you're so probably delighted to get man of the match. But so Harnady was dragged in off the field early, so I tried to grab him on the way back out the field. He says, look, I haven't seen my parents or anything, I'll come back in, I promise. So it was about 25 minutes before this fella, the players these days, the patience they have, they sign every jersey and everything. But so I was hanging around for a good while, so I didn't get to see the Galway Kilkenny match, but I had the luck or misfortune to listen to an RT Brian Carty and John Milanlas. This is like a motley crew of the highest order. I had no real idea what was going on, but it was fantastic stuff, right? But Brian Carty kept mentioning the exclusion zone. Now, I don't know if this is in hurling. I've never heard of the exclude. The ball's just coming out past the exclusion zone now, and Joe Canning has it. Do you know what the exclusion zone? No.
No.
Do you, Damien?
No.
Right, okay. So Milan basically
just being honest.
No,
yeah. No, I didn't.
Oh, is it a midfield?
I've no idea, because when I think exclusion zone, I kind of think of American football or rugby, where it's gone in past the post or something. I don't know, but he mentioned it loads of times. Oh. And he also was mentioning that the second half was the first half, but that's neither here nor there. And Milan is just losing his mind. I really like Milan, but he's not telling you much about what's happened in the game. He's just losing himself in the match.
Yeah,
he's really getting into it. And there's definitely a place for Milan and Cocon, but you need another man with him to paint some picture of what's actually happening. So I was listening to the whole thing on the radio, and by the time I got home, the game was over. So I just got to see highlights last night. But definitely John Milan and Brian Carty, a dangerous enough combination if you want to know what's going on. Yeah. One more thing, lads, because there's been loads to talk about. Damien Cahillane stumbled in past me while I was waiting for Harnady, and he was gone. He was absolutely ready to faint. He was being held up. He was pale as a ghost. Boy. Yeah, he suffered heat stroke, and he's a kind of a red sort of a fella anyway, so I'd say that the sun kind of is his enemy. But the water break, no water breaks were permitted during the final. All that the CCC allowed was one more carrier. Instead of having, was it one carrier allowed, you get two, or is it one liter half? Like, I mean, isn't that rough in that weather, close to 30 degrees, that all they're giving you is one more? And you see a lot of Cahillane was
out in his seat, was he?
Oh, he was ready to fall.
Jeez.
Like, I mean, he was dead. You know what I mean? You think in that weather, maybe you'll just get maybe 2 minutes or a minute, so everybody gets that drink of water.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, underestimated, but wearing a helmet as well out in that heat is incredible.
Yeah.
It's just kind of suffocates your head, and you'd be, look, again, I'd say today now they know all about it, they're today dehydrated, how much weight you're going to lose as well, all that kind of strength and conditioning comes into it, or the dietitian and everything like that as well. But you'd be hoping, like, obviously, with all the, see, the dietitians have all what amount, X amount of water you have to drink now and all that kind of stuff, but they did permit it. It was in Croke Park there yesterday as well. They had two water guys going in and out very, very regular in the Joe McDonagh and the Leinster final there as well. So, in fairness, they did do that. But again, yeah, a water break would be 10, 15 minutes into each half, would probably solve that problem as well, because you know yourself, if you're playing bad, and then you're only concentrating next ball, you don't care about your water. You just want to get the next ball.
When you're marking John Connellan in that form, imagine being hit for three and you're shouting, looking for water.
Yeah,
like, you could get taken off
just
at that
a problem,
stage.
Like, you know what I mean? You're looking for, is he looking for excuse here or that and that? But yeah, you have concentrating one thing and the ball is all in transit. But then if you have that water break in the middle of it and you can over it, I'll get to the 15 minute or 20 minute, get a break here now, get me tossed back together and then go back out again. Like, you know, but yeah, there should have been something sanctioned for it, because again, it was a one off. We never have this weather.
No.
Over the last few years, so it's something they should really look at.
Yeah, what do you think, Damien? Would it make sense? Like, I mean, gasping for water and being afraid to ask for it isn't the greatest place to be in.
No, but just I'd say myself, if they didn't want to stop for the game to let the players on, they should have any amount of water bites, just wearing bibs. You know, just they don't even have to be from, for example, yesterday from Clare or Cork. They should just have that's all for player safety. them. But just, you were saying that Callahan was out in his seat. You know, Callahan had a very, very rough 35 minutes yesterday on Conlon. But just to give the man a little bit of credit, right? And everyone has a bad patch, right? But I thought he was absolutely brilliant in the second half. He went basically corner back, mightn't be that comfortable corner back. He went on Shane O'Donnell, who's, then he went on Podgen for a stint, and I thought he was absolutely brilliant in the second half. You know, and, but just on the water, I think they should have, on a day like that, why not have 20 water carriers? They don't have to be from Clare or from Cork, just yeah. running in and out, giving the players water. So like, that's something you need to look into, you know. It's just a bit of cop on, just a little bit of common sense. So and it's something that should be done, and it's very important.
Yeah, no, I agree, because like, I mean, you don't actually even have to stop the game for 2 to 3 minutes. Like, I mean, Patrick Horgan's lining up a free, bang, get that water in from low, like Damien says, lots of people and everybody gets a drink of water in that short space of time. I don't know, but like you said, JJ, we're not really used to this.
No.
Although, having said that, Cork did play Waterford last year in a heat wave as well, so Cork probably were well used to it. But anyways, listen, so I caught up with Seamus Harnady. Like I was saying, he eventually came back in off the pitch, and here's how that went.
Come here, Seamus, you're captain and you're man of the match in a Munster final. It doesn't get any better than that.
It looked fairly beat there 15 minutes into the first half, but look, in fairness, the lad showed great resilience, you know, and that's probably the most proud, you know you can be of any team, that when the chips are down, the lads really put the shoulder to the wheel. Could easily caved in, but really, really dug in, you know, and the times are going tough there, and thankfully, you know, ended up with 3 or 4 point winners in the end, so delighted to get over the line. I really enjoyed it in Munster series, to be honest, you know. It's any intercounty player's dream, you know, to be playing games as opposed to training. It is tough, don't get me wrong, but look, that wraps up the Munster series now, into the All-Ireland series with 4 weeks, I suppose. Look, we can just relax now for the evening, and then it's all focus, you know, for 4 weeks time in the semi-final. You know, it has been a stumbling block for us in the past, so we are due a big performance in it, and eagerly anticipating, you know.
How difficult is it out there?
I suppose it's definitely not there, the hottest or the second hottest match last year against Waterford from the semi-final in Munster, rival. But today was, you know, absolutely devastating heat. You know, a lot of players are cramped there with 10 minutes to go, and it really tests their mental resilience. But look, thankfully the lads kept going to the bitter end. You know, in fairness to Clare as well, they came right back at us, and put, you know, getting a goal in injury time as well.
Really
showed their mettle, you know, and fair play to them. They kept coming at us towards the end as well. They're going to have a big role to play in this All-Ireland series yet, and you know, it's wide open now again going to that.
And come here, were you worried at any stage, because you were 8 down, I suppose that 1-1 you got just before half time just put a different complexion really on the half?
Yeah, I suppose, look, Coleman got a monster sideline there, you know, it was a bit of a momentum swinger. In fairness to Luke Mead, you know, the amount of runs that he makes is frightening, you know, and his cool and calm finish really brought us back into the game, you know. From 8 points down to 4 was a big difference just before half time, you know, and we weren't happy with how we, you know, how we played in the first half, so we really wanted to kind of just express ourselves in the second half, and that's what we really went about doing.
Right, so what changed in the second half? Like, Clare were covering off the full forward line. I think Reedy was dropping onto Luke Mead, and then they were freeing up a half back to drop in front of you. But like, you seemed to get a lot more ball in the second half.
In fairness, you know, Clare were like a team possessed, you know, in the first 20 minutes. They were everywhere. They were high tempo. They were physical. You know, they were everywhere. And in fairness to them, they really put us under pressure from the offset. So we just stuck to our game plan. Stuck, you know, we knew we were going to have our opportunities, and it was about executing them. And thankfully, we did. It took us a bit longer to get going. You know, you mightn't get that opportunity further down the line. You know, they missed a few opportunities themselves, you know, to really kick on. So look, we're going to have to look at that and, as an area of improvement. But look, just thankfully, you know, the main thing that I will take out of today is the resilience and ruthlessness towards the end. So just to get over the line.
What did John say to you at half time, because he left Clare waiting out in the dressing room? Were you getting a pasting off him?
Not at all. In fairness, John, you know, it's cool, calm, collected. He's been there, thankfully, you know, he's been in these scenarios before. And you know, we were 12 points down against Clare as well in the league, and we just didn't want to panic, you know. As I said, you know, Clare, after spending an awful lot of energy, they were flying around early. You know, we knew we would have opportunities, and it was up to us to take them, and we knew if we took our chances, you know, we would be able to get right back into their game. Thankfully, you know, Patrick Corgan really stuck up there with a few absolute wonder scores, and he needed it.
When he gets the ball in his hand, it's practically a score, isn't it?
He's a gifted craftsman, you know, and there's no man that deserves it more. You know, he's been hurling with Cork now a number of years, and you know, he's always putting his best foot forward. You know, he's a great man to play alongside. He's really reassuring. He's cool, he's calm, collected, and he's forever patient, you know, and he's a great guy to have alongside you, you know, and he gets one.
What kind of a captain are you? Do you speak in the dressing room at half time, or are you more of a leader on the field?
I suppose, look, when they ask you to say a few words, I'll say a few words, and you know, I suppose, look, I just focus on trying to help the lads out in the pitch as much as I can. I suppose we have a young team, so I just try to help the younger lads as much as I can. Then you have a lot of lads, you know, with other experience that help me out as well. So, you know, Jane, I was gone from one team leader, you know, you need leaders everywhere, and thankfully, you know, we have them.
Yeah, just you made a few very good changes during the game. Like, I mean, Spillane obviously going to Conlon was obvious because he was doing fierce damage, but Fitzgibbon to wing forward in the second half, he caused an awful lot of damage there on that wing.
Yeah, you know, Fitzy is a fierce threat when you get him on the ball, and he's a potent runner, and he's a great kid as well, you know, he's a great attitude about him. But, you know, we fellas are fairly versatile, they can play in most positions, you know, it's very much as if a man makes a run, just to, you know, occupy that position when he's coming back out and another fella slots in from, you know, just trying to keep sticking to our process, you know, and going ball after ball. So that's just basically it.
Okay, just finally, like, I mean, it's been some turnaround in the last 2 years for Cork. Like, I mean, you were a basket case, no offence, like when you lost to Wexford, it looked in disarray, and now you're double Munster champions. Like, I mean, what do you put that down to?
I suppose, look, lads had to have a good hard look at themselves, you know, had to work a bit harder, you know, and in fairness, the lads have done that, you know, we train hard, you know, we have a good bunch of guys with good attitude, you know, and if you have a good team spirit, you can go a long way, and you know, they're a great bunch of lads to work with, you know, and I enjoy going to training every night.
You must obviously, the movement up front is brilliant, but like, I mean, you're able to win ball in the air as well, but it must be lovely as a full forward knowing when you move that you're going to be hit with a good ball, you know what I mean? That's kind of a feature of your play, like, it encourages you to run a little bit more maybe.
some days they're tough, you know, and some days, you know, they're perfect into your hand, but you know, you have to take the good with the bad. In fairness, you know, Clare didn't let us play in good ball in the first 15-20 minutes. They really kind of shut down our passing game and the good delivery of ball into the forward line, and as I said, we were very touch tight, and you know, you just have to stay at it, you have to wait for your chances to arise, and then you have to execute them.
Just finally, like, I mean, is that just from experience that you didn't panic, and you're like, you keep mentioning that you thought you would get the space would open up, it wasn't there in the first half? Are you and Hoggy kind of talking to each other, just relax, take it easy, it'll come?
Yeah, like we made a lot of errors, a lot of turnovers in our own ball, you know, we were a bit jittery at the start, ourselves included. We weren't making the ball stick in full forward line, but just we knew if we could shore that up and you know, and get the possession into our hand, you know, we could be dangerous, you know. The lads are oily now at this stage, you know, as I said, you know, two monsters in a row, you know, you have to put the shoulder to the wheel. There is times when other teams are going to have purple patches, and as I said, Clare were absolutely hopping the first time, so we knew we just had to stop to our guns, and you know, things would turn around and thankfully.
Okay, so you have a little bit of time off now in All-Ireland. Like, I mean, Cork always want to win the All-Ireland when they win the Munster, but even more so this year.
It's very tough, you know. I suppose, look, the Munster series is wrapped up now, it's great, we'll enjoy this evening, but we've 4 weeks, you know, at least, you know, the turnaround isn't as long as last year. We were six weeks last year with the old format, so you know, we have a shorter distance, and you know, we just have to get back training. We've a lot of areas to work on as well. We know that we're under no illusions, no gave away two sloppy goals by our own standards in the first half, so we're really going to have to try and eradicate that, and you know, we're going to have to start faster. So look, there's definitely areas of improvement as well, but you know, it's just great to get over the line, and that's what today was all about.
Seamus, congratulations, thanks very much.
Gentlemen, thank you.
I'd never be allowed to go up and in and have a shite like him, and you know, a slob or whatever. Like, I was always doing a bit.
All I remember is I thought I was going to get clobbered on the way in there. I threw the ball up in there. I don't know, it was pure luck, no, in fairness. Pure luck. Fucking bullshit, as you see yourselves.
Yeah, so there's some things about the Sunday game that frustrate me. While I really liked Anthony Daly and Jackie having a good proper chat last night, kind of amongst themselves, they didn't really get into much tactics on the game, and I was at it, and it was very clear. Like, you wonder where the sweepers on both sides came from, but David Reedy was dropping from wing back and he was picking up Luke Mead, and that was in turn freeing up someone on the Clare half back line to drop back into a sweeping position. So when Reedy would drop, Joyce would be the sweeper on the other end. But in fairness to Reedy, he was able to get right back up the other side of the field. So it was almost like Clare had a sweeper when Cork were attacking, Cork had a sweeper when they were attacking, which was no good to them. And then when Clare were attacking, Reedy was back up. And you know what I mean? They'd shift back around their players. So Clare, tactically, had it completely spot on in the first half and really had Cork rattled.
Yeah, they had a fantastic performance in the first half as well. But even if they were fired up for the first half as well, even Podge Collins won a free in the first couple of minutes and he nearly jumped over the fence there after just winning a free. You know, so you saw they were intense. And with what we spoke about earlier on, with hooking without a hurl, and your man Colin Galvin was back, he was midfield, he was back clearing the ball that hook there as well, like, you know what I mean. Jack Brown was attacking the ball as much as possible there as well. So yeah, they had a fantastic game. They had it down to a T now, in fairness, you know. But then again, you have to give Cork a lot of credit there as well. I think Mark Holman followed Tony Kelly for the first half,
he did,
and then that they switched that at half time. That was when you were working and Mark Holman hit a mountain of ball, and then there was no kind of coincidence that when Mark Holman was on the ball, Cork were playing well, because Patrick Horgan was getting quality ball in there as well. James Harney was getting quality ball, because the ball he delivers in is absolutely fantastic. He ended up scoring a point there as well near the end too. Like, so again, they need to get him on the ball as quickly as possible and as much as they can, because he makes them tick. I know he's only what, 20 years of age, but he's fantastic distributor of the ball, and he knows where. And more importantly, Patrick Horgan knows if he makes that run, Mark Holman will find him 9 times out of 10, you know. So it's a huge thing for Cork, and they deserve a lot of credit for it as well. Like, you know what I mean? You could very easily say Tony Kelly's out of this game, so Grant, we'll leave it the way it is, but to switch it around and the switch worked.
I wasn't sure to switch too much around, because Coleman was on Kelly for a good bit of second half as well. I know it's hard on television, but like, I mean, Coleman played centre half back because Cadogan went across on Duggan, so Cadogan marked Duggan for the whole game as a wing back. So
was Ellis calling Kelly then, though, did he?
Ellis could when he came on. Yeah, he could have, and they could have freed him up at that stage. Yeah, but it's hard to keep track of everybody at that stage, because it was all over the place.
Modern game, isn't it?
And like, Tony Kelly drops so deep, Damien. It's often, sometimes you wonder, has he gone that little bit too far? Because he's not really a threat, and Coleman and these lads aren't going all that way with him.
Yeah, well, I've spoke before. I think your man Coleman and Fitzgibbon for Cork are absolutely two brilliant young lads. Fitzgibbon scored 2 points yesterday. They're almost absolute replicas of each other, off his right hand side, straight over the bar, looping high and dropped over the bar.
Yeah.
Your man Coleman, his first initial reaction is every time he gets the ball is to turn and just to take on the man. And I'd love to know, I've said this more than once now, and I've been watching on TV, when he goes down to take a line ball, I'd love to know what size hurley he uses, because he looks like he uses a fierce small hurley. Yeah. I'd say it could be a 32 inch, if even smaller.
Really?
You know? But it's an extremely small, and the reason why you'd use small hurleys is that you have a better control on the ball. Right now, there's a disadvantage with the small hurl, where you lose out in the hooks and the blocks, and that's how you sort of put your first touch and your control would be a lot better. But I watched the match, obviously, Colin. I thought at the very start, the Cork Clare game, I thought I was very nervous at the very start. An awful lot of balls were going out over the sideline, you know. But then there was a Munster final, and then Clare absolutely thundered into Sean Conlon. Was having the first half performance a bit like Seamus Conlon had in the All-Ireland 2 years ago, and he was just, and everything he was touching was turning into gold, right? But from the 34th minute basically onwards, Clare dropped their guard, and Luke Mead went in and got the goal. Seamus Hamley caught the ball, and I'm working down here in Clare, you know, and I would love to see Clare win the Munster Championship. I won't lie there either, and I thought they would win it. But the long and short of it, in the second half, very similar to what happened with Galway against Kilkenny 3 years ago in an All-Ireland final, the leading players for Clare, a lot of their leading players, they all went missing. They went missing stroke, they went hiding like this. And, you know, Tony Kelly, you know, was very, very quiet. Peter Duggan was very, very quiet. You had Podge, very, very quiet. You had all these top players, even John Conlon. Now, I know it's hard to say, but he wasn't on the ball. And all the big players that they needed, they lost a massive opportunity to win the Munster final yesterday. They were 8 points up in the first half. They dropped it to 4 just before halftime, and I think they'd only a point or two scored in the first 12, 13 minutes in the second half. That's where they lost the match. They effectively lost the game by 5 points. So there's And they got a goal at the very end. It basically just made the scoreboard look a little bit better than it was. They effectively lost by 5 points. But when the game was there to be won, the Clare boys went missing. I'm sorry, the missed freeze. So that is the whole lot. You were talking about Cadogan picked up Peter Duggan. Cadogan picked up Peter Duggan. And if any of you are watching on TV, right, Cadogan and Duggan had an unbelievable battle and on and off that on, right? But just at half time, the camera zoomed in on Duggan and Cadogan, and you could see Cadogan and Duggan mouthing at each other, and yeah. Cadogan was in Duggan's ear and the whole lot, right? And it was like Cadogan was after getting inside his ear, and he was after winning the battle. And the second half, Peter Duggan was no more than a lot more players. He was anonymous. He was missing freeze and everything, you know. And I'm sure Cadogan was still in his ear. And Cadogan, who isn't a regular on this Cork team, to be fair, over the last couple of years, I thought he had a great game as well yesterday. So he just,
yeah, no, maybe he did. And like, I mean, you're dead right, because when Duggan missed a couple of frees, it was almost like you don't see that as much in hurling, but Cadogan's coming from the enemy of football kind of trash talking, and he was definitely reminding Duggan that he was gone. He was, you know, or whatever he was saying to him. But Duggan had misfired, Tony Kelly misfired, he's right, they all started misfiring.
Shane O'Donnell
misfired the whole day,
you know, the whole day, you know. So I thought they would win the Munster final, I won't lie to you. I thought they were on a run. Clare beating Tipperary, I thought that was a huge monkey off the back. Massive performance against Limerick. Going in at half time, they were up, but it's in the second half, as I said to you, they went hiding, and it happened to Galway 3 years ago against Kilkenny, when the game was 3-1, when someone had to win a free or put their body on the line. It was like the Clare boys didn't know what to do, and it's very disappointing for Clare. They had an opportunity, I think, is it 20 years? Is it something like that? 20?
Yeah, it would be.
Won a Munster Championship. It was there for them to win it, you know. And you take, for example, the Cork boys. An awful lot of the Cork boys in the second half stood up to mark, you know. And Lehan and Horgan and all these boys, I thought they were absolutely brilliant for it.
Yeah, starting Lehan on the full forward line wasn't the greatest idea for Cork. Like, I mean, he was lost in there.
I think they were trying to bring a curveball, maybe centre forward, and just Cork or Clare backs look around. What's this happening? But you see, when they did switch it, actually, Colin, I think he actually came into the game a small bit more.
He needs
to be breaking either side now, and he needs to be running for puck outs, because again, Nash will pick him out. But if Lehan is not making them runs, who is going to make him in the half forward line as well? So you rob Peter the way. But I think they were just trying to be a small bit too smart by the Cork management there at the start, but it kind of backfired them, but they kind of replicated them fairly quickly.
Yeah, they did. They arrested it very well. And like, I mean, they're getting a lot of credit for putting Colm Spillane on Conlon, but like, I thought they were slow in doing that, because Spillane is some player. Like, who is he marked that he hasn't got the better of? He gets the better out of every.
He's so strong.
Like, we're talking
solid,
Austin Gleeson, and like, you know, all these top players that this lad's able to. John McGrath as well, he's able to tie up. Like, I mean, this lad's a sensational man marker, like a proper man marker.
And he wasn't just standing beside John Conlon either, because John Conlon would, nine times in, he'd just push lads out of the way, and he was actually waiting for the ball and actually timing his run, so John couldn't actually find where he was to actually push him out of his way. So Conlon was actually timing his run absolutely perfect, and he won a lot of ball when he went in there. But again, the Clare management, I know they moved him out centre forward, but it's nearly too late at that particular
63
stage.
Minutes.
Then they should have moved him out centre forward, put him at 11, and then give Cork an opportunity. Why? You have a question to ask. Do you put Colin Spillane out centre back, or do you leave him there? If you leave him in full back, then John Conlon could nip two or three points there out of a shot, and then you make the change again. Like, you know what I mean? It's just they left it too easy there for him, and they weren't really playing the quality ball in to John Conlon in his defence in the second half like they were in the first half as well. They just stopped doing what was working for them. They'd never done in the second half, you know what I mean? You just wonder why. Maybe they're putting under a bit of pressure in the defence. The Cork attackers were actually kind of chasing them down and kind of harassing them a bit more. But if it's working, stay doing as much as possible.
They just didn't. I mean, I was asking Seamus Harn to do that, and it's like, what changed in the second half? And it was almost like, look, they had their time of dominance, then we have, you know what I mean? I was trying to find out what was the reason for it, without just Cork came into the game and believed in themselves, and maybe it's just down to that.
Last few games, I know they drew against Tipperary, but then they were 3 points up. I know Tip came back at them. Limerick, they kind of finished very well as well, like, you know what I mean? So against Waterford, if they finish well as well, so I think they back themselves. If they can stay in the game for 55-60 minutes, they'll back themselves in the last 10 minutes to go on and win the game. Like,
yeah,
it's a huge confidence to have in their locker there as well, knowing that we're right for 10 minutes now, we'll kick on. Like,
Daniel Kearney,
Colin, you're wondering what happened with the whole thing that happened, that the Cork backs gone top. and they absolutely put nearly all in clear forwards in their pockets, and they start from there and they started getting ball up the field. So that Bill Cooper, another man that had a great game there, so he had yesterday, in particular in the second half, he made a goal and he also scored a super point. So, but the Cork backs took over, and they got ball up the field to Horgan, to Harnessy, Lahan, to all these boys, and these boys start to make hay, so that, and I'd say at half time there were a couple of minutes later coming out in the shootout, I'd say there was a couple of fairly harsh words said to them, and there was a couple of home truths told to lads, and I'd say there was basically told that this is the Munster final and this is a very, very important game for the tradition of Cork people like that. So that's what happened. As I said, the Cork defence got on top big time, put their bodies on the line, and the Clare forwards went to sleep. They went hiding, they went missing, whatever word you want to use, but they didn't score in the second half. I think they had 1 point scored in something like 12 or 13 minutes in the second half. And you ask yourself, what did Cork have scored in that period?
Yeah, the game was up for Clare at that stage. I think the 1-1 before halftime killed them. Like, yeah. I mean, going in, it's a completely different complexion on the game. There's only four
but
in
yeah,
it.
But Colin, you're right. It was a sucker blow, but they were still up 4 points.
Yeah.
You know, just they were up 8, they conceded 1-1, right, which was a big upset. It was a pity that they conceded, but they were still up 4 points, you know. So they it wasn't a thing that they were down 4 just before half time. But you're right, it was a sucker punch, the 1-1, but Clare were still up 4 points.
Yeah, it was a bit like the Galway Kilkenny All Ireland in 15, where they were so good in the first half, and then Kilkenny start the second half and chipping away, and next minute they're level, and you're thinking Galway might get one or two here, and then just the whole half passes by and it didn't happen. Yeah, and that was Clare, they were just out of it for the whole half, and I think you put it down to the same thing, belief and leader stepping up all over the field when it needs be. And if you Sean O'Donoghue was a monster of a man, what a player. Spillane, Coleman, Dara Fitzgibbon went centre forward or wing forward, he got his 2 points from wing forward. Like, I mean, he got two skyscraping points when they were really needed. And then Patrick Horgan and Seamus Harnedy had a brilliant second half. Like, this is a serious Cork team at this stage now, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
very good. They're answering all the questions that put before them at the start. To be honest with you, I didn't think they'd come out of Munster, to be honest with you, let alone Munster champions.
They haven't
absolutely
been
phenomenal performance this year.
They won 3 last year and they won 3 this year and drew 2. They haven't been beaten. Now, this is Munster, which is complete, like, competitive province, and they haven't been beaten in 2 years in it.
They're doing it with the nucleus of probably 17 players, 18 players maybe at most. Because if you look over there, we talk about squads now and all this, the team with the best squad is going to win this Munster and Leinster championships. But Cork actually used probably 17 or 18 players, where the rest of them kind of use a lot more players there as well. So they're working off a small base of players, but the players that they have on the team, the back line, the full back line now, the two cornerbacks probably quickest to set a cornerbacks now in the country at the moment. You know, like, I mean, then Mark Coleman out in front of him, Dara Fitzgibbon, there's legs all over that team. Conor Leahan, Patrick Horgan, Seamus Harnedy, there's legs and speed, and the longer they go on in the summer, the better the hurling is going to get. And obviously they're up there in Croke Park now, that's where they want to be. But we've seen this with them last year again, they got up to Croke Park, but now is the time kick on now after this again, like, you know. So,
and Alan Callaghan was on the show down in Cork last Thursday, and he hasn't ruled himself out, Damien, to get back into the mix. Imagine throwing him into that. I have to be honest, I wasn't sold on Cork last year. I was thinking, look, they're after having a good year, but like this year, I think that these are real All-Ireland contenders now, Damien. That they're like, I mean, they weathered that storm, 8 points down in a Munster final, and they didn't panic once. They didn't panic at all. There was like Kilkenny at their best kind of feel about them.
Yeah, well, I always knew that Cork were a good team. I always knew they're top class forwards. After mentioning there, Callaghan, you know, Callaghan's a huge loss to him. He is a top corner forward. He's able to get scores, you know, and he caused clear awful problems in last year's game. So he did. But it's how Cork managed the next month. That's what's going to be important here. Cork are into the All-Ireland semi-final. So if Galway lose the Leinster final, or if Kilkenny lose the Leinster final, right, it's basically going to be a case of who's going to play in the next game, and that's going to be the big game for them. And Cork need to push on now. They need to push on. They've lads there now, they're in their second and third year transition of becoming senior hurlers, like this Coleman, Fitzgibbon, all these boys, and they need to push on. They're well good enough. Cork in an All-Ireland final, they say, is very, very difficult to play. They've class players. Harnedy and Horgan are just two top class forwards. They scored 1-8 from play between them on Munster Finals Day, right? And neither player went missing. So that when the game, when they needed scores, they got scores. When balls needed to be win, they won balls. They laid off balls, everything. So it's, but basically it's how they manage next month, but it's actually Cork's next game, the All-Ireland semi-final, is their biggest game. Can they get over that hurdle? Can they get up the, over that obstacle? And you have to remember as well, they played Waterford last year and Cathalan got sent off, and I have said this on the podcast, Colin, I don't know would Waterford have beaten Cork last year if Cathalan didn't get sent off. And it was a pure misfortune for him, but I think Cork could have got to the All-Ireland final last year if that's 15-15 against Waterford, and I think they could try and make amends this year and get it back in, try to get back into the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, no, they definitely could. I think they had 6 weeks between the Munster final and the semi-final last year, which that's a big disadvantage, I think. David Reedy, funnily enough, was put into the full forward line yesterday after doing so well in the half forward line. Thought that was a mistake. The Conlon one was a mistake. Shane O'Donnell should have been taken off much sooner. He wasn't playing well right throughout the game. Yeah. Like, he just wasn't in it. Spillane had him, and then even Cathalan had him. Like, I don't know, like, should Tony Kelly have been moved to midfield when he wasn't playing well at centre forward? It just seemed like...
Those are all the questions that we can ask now, isn't
it? Yeah, but you see, that game was constantly just falling away. At what point does a management team, JJ, say we need to do something here because it's slipping away?
You should
away
ask
from
your
us.
Man beside him there, so he, in the crowd he could have all the answers.
Maybe your man beside him was saying, hold off here, hold off, don't panic.
He's listening too much.
don't panic yet. Okay, well, we'll move on off that point because you're not even taking me seriously here anymore. The Leinster final obviously was a different type of game. I don't really want to start off on this because I don't think it had any bearing on it. Is David Burke had comments last week saying Kilkenny feared Galway. Now, I did a thing with David Burke 2 weeks ago and it wasn't even recorded, and David Burke didn't say one thing that would be inflammatory about Kilkenny, so I don't know when he said this or what the context was. It didn't read well. And
I'd like to see the whole interview now.
So
I seen the headline, and he'd be very, very surprised.
Yeah, I'd say Micheál Donoghue read that and absolutely lynched his captain, saying, because that's not their style to say anything of the sort, especially about Kilkenny. And when you take out that quote and you say that, like, would Cody use that, JJ?
He wouldn't use it himself now, but I'm assuming the players would have seen it or would have heard something about it anyway, you know what I mean? Because, look, if four or five of the players use that as motivation, it's working in their favour really more than anything. But, I see the quote, and the quote is always up in the headlines on Twitter, and probably the players going through their Twitter feed now, they've probably seen it and they looked at it, didn't click into it, didn't read it, probably didn't have to, just wanted to see that. And so players are kind of, they're funny enough a bunch, because they'll pick out one thing and just focus on this. Grand, I don't care what it could be in compliment to Kenny for the rest of the article.
Doesn't make
a difference. I'm going to pick out what I want out of this, and if I need to get this extra bit of motivation, I'm going to use it out there. But look, again, I don't think that they use that as motivation. They probably use Peir Stadium, the game up in Peir Stadium, as more motivation than what David Burke said realistically about the whole thing, because again, there was men versus boys there in Peir Stadium. But again, they probably knew themselves they had to stand up to him physically and actually had to hurdle against him as well, which they did yesterday as well, in fairness to him. You know, I'd say there's more Peir Stadium than David Burke's comment, to be honest with you.
Nicky English described the Damien as a stop start affair littered with fouls and very rarely afforded any rhythm. Would that be fair?
I would agree with that, yeah. It was full of stop, start, hurling, line ball, freeze, stop, throw-ins, everything. It never got a free-flowing game, which is sure, the scoreboard reflects that, you know. So it was 18 points apiece, you know. And there was never really free-flowing rhythm. It was all clumps, and the middle eight was very, very busy. So it was the inside forwards were living off scraps. There was very, very few goal opportunities clear cut, even though TJ Reid took a brilliant shot on James Gale, which was saved. You had Mannion missed a clear cut shot. He should have caught it and maybe then buried it as well. But there was really no goal scoring opportunity. It was interesting, just a statistic, the whole Galway full forward line was taken off again yesterday. Correct me if I'm wrong, they had 9 points scored from play between the three of them, all taken off. It was just hard, tough, physical. Who can block and bodies on the line, shouldering, you try out solo me, I'll try out solo you. It was usually committed stuff, but it was a different type of game to the Munster final. The Munster final was more entertaining, more enjoyable, a lot more scores, where this was, as I said, more physical, more tougher. It was a battle, so it was. And I have to say one thing just on this as well. You know, I have to give due and pay a huge compliment to Brian Cody and his management team. He's rebuilding, right? And he's rebuilding with a young squad. He started out he'd have to win the National Hurling League, get the lads to the Leinster final, and he compete with the All-Ireland champions. And like, the All-Ireland champions were far from their best, but it was his game plan, his players, his young lads that he put his faith in, that really put it up to the lads. And it just shows the measure of the quality of his backroom team. And just to say, like, he's a great man to get a team prepared. But Galway were not at their best yesterday, and I think Galway will improve a lot from yesterday's game. Galway steam cruised through the whole Leinster Championship. Next thing they got to a Leinster final, and next thing the first tough game that they had, they didn't play well, and that's what I think. But yeah, it was a very stop start affair. It was just really tough and really physical.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, Cody deserves an awful lot of credit, JJ, because we're saying here on Thursday, myself and Cheddar, is that the young fellas didn't perform in Salt Hill. The old lads got him out of jail. Then the old lads ended up getting their start against Wexford, and the young lads rescued them. So we were wondering which way he would go. But he went with six young lads that had never played in a Leinster senior final before. Like, I mean, so that was a brave move by Cody. And like, imagine getting that performance out of them.
It was huge. I think it was 13 out of 26 his first Leinster final on Kilkenny panel, like, which is probably hasn't Jesus. Happened for years and years, you know. But they did, in fairness to them, they earned their starting spot. And I suppose Billy Ryan was the one kind of surprise, even out of the six young lads starting. But he had a fantastic game as well. And
tell us about him. What's his story?
He's one with Grey Valley Callan. They got the Intermediate County Final last year as well. Now he's under 21 there last year as well. So we kind of knew about him over the last 3 or 4 years, but didn't get a huge amount of league games or anything like that. But he seems a good guy and big guy as well, winning his own ball, and he's quick as well. He's very, very quick. And
but you're not looking at him in Kilkenny going, well, this is a star for the future.
No, you'd be hopeful for him, all right. Yeah, because like, he got on the ball and he looked very, very comfortable on the ball as well. He's unlucky first minute, he got the ball and kind of snapped out a small bit. But then after that, he got his composure back and he got a couple of pints and he was blocked down. He could have got another pint, he was blocked down. But very unlucky, he kind of turned Dottie Burke in the second half as well. Unlucky, you know, he drove wide, but very unlucky again. But showing for the ball, winning the ball, and he's very, very quick as well. And I'd say the space in Croke Park would suit him down the ground. He's a big guy as well, he's around 6 foot. And okay. He's got to look after himself too now.
But Kilkenny brought Galway into a game Kilkenny wanted to. Would Kilkenny have made, there's no disrespect to Kilkenny, but Galway would be a better team. Did Kilkenny turn the game into the scrappy affair that they would, you know, to drag Galway to that kind of?
I suppose for the last 6 weeks we were talking about this Galway forward line, and you can't give him space, and that's what Kilkenny didn't do. They didn't give him space. But I suppose for the first time this Galway attack got, the Kilkenny defence was catching balls over them as well. And I don't know, you're probably looking at it, your why it stopped start the game. I think the goalkeeper's puck outs have a lot got to do with it on both ends, to be honest with you. The reason being that the ball was dropping probably between 20 yards out and 25 yards out. What that is, you bring your half back line back towards your full back line, and the two of them, when the ball breaks, there's around 4 or 5 people around the breaking ball, because he's just going for height and distance.
Yeah.
And it was going, maybe Bo's team might be better off just hit the ball 10 yards shorter and then have a one on one situation.
So they were both driving the puck out
as long as possible. Yeah, straight down the field. And they were dropping. Now Skettle and Owen Murphy have a phenomenal puck in the ball, and they're dropping nearly on the 21 or 5 yards in front of it. That's the base. Skettle went short probably 2 or 3 times, but so the Georgian were just long.
Yeah, the new Kilkenny bringing it through the lines
it was gone. It was just kind of get down as far as possible as well. And I suppose a lot of the ball into the full forward line, to Galway full forward line, were high ball in there as well. Now Kilkenny forwards were putting a lot of pressure on the Galway backs there as well, so they didn't have that time to pick out the ball. Parig Manning, you didn't see him going forward as much until the last probably 10-15 minutes where he came into the game, but up to that he was restricted, and TJ done well, and Gerald McNerney as well. So they had a good battle, and Walter and Dottie Burke had a great battle as well. Like, so they weren't, the Galway defence wasn't on top, and therefore they weren't getting quality ball into it. They were just kind of hitting it high ball down, and I think the Kilkenny backs dealt very, very well with that high ball. Like, even it wasn't Parig Welsh caught 3 or 4 in the first half, absolutely brilliant. But then Paul Murphy caught one, Paddy Deegan caught one, Killian Buckley came into the game, they caught 3 or 4 as well, and Morrissey caught a couple. So they were well on top in the air as well, because the Kilkenny forwards were making them hitting down there. But I just thought the two goalkeepers were just going for length and distance, and that's why when the ball broke, if it did break, there was 3 or 4 lads, people around him. That's why you stop and start. It could be generally a free or a throw, and then the whole thing was started again from there. You know, that kind of way. So maybe that's one of the reasons for it. Maybe the couple of managers might look at it right.
Well, that makes sense.
If I poke a 10 yard shorter, you're not getting your poking it 40 yards away from the goal, but at least it might be just one on one then as well, like, you know what I mean?
From from a Galway point of view, if they want to free up some space, then they need to stretch the game a bit better than just bumping it down. Was not starting Johnny Glynn a mistake, Damien? Like, I mean, I would have thought he was a banker, considering Padraig Walsh had some trouble throughout this championship with big full forwards.
Yeah, well, then you have to remember that Niall Burke replaced Johnny Glynn, and he bagged 4 points from play.
Yeah.
And he was one of the standout forwards. So he was a nominee for man the match there last night in the Sunday game. But what I find about Johnny Glynn is, and I said this before, I find Johnny Glynn is a great ball winner, right? And I find Johnny Glynn's first thing to do is to offload the ball. Right, to offload the ball. And I find that if, even when Johnny Glynn come on there in the second half, then once he gets the ball, the other forwards know that he's a great man to lay it off. And I find forwards are really lucky. And he laid off a couple of balls there yesterday. I know he did it wide himself, which was perfectly entitled, but I just find at times that Johnny Glynn brings a different element to forward play, which assists and laying off, you know, he's the ultimate team player. So you're asking me, would I play Johnny Glynn? Yeah, I'd play Johnny Glynn on the team. Well, which one of the six forwards would lose out? Really, it doesn't really matter, because we all do know he's constantly bringing forwards. And I was very surprised that Jason Flynn came on the 69th minute.
Yeah.
You know, I just found it strange, very late. And I'm always saying 69th minute, like, what impact is a player going to make in a minute or two?
Yeah.
You know, but he came on very, very late. Conor Cooney had a very, very quiet game for his own standard. Look at the long and short of this. The Galway forwards in particular were very, very quiet. You know, by their own standards, I don't need to name players. They all know who they are. They just weren't up to their best. The likes in the middle of the field, David Burke and Johnny Cohen, we've seen them being better than we have. And then the Kilkenny team, I think, stood up to the mark. They put Galway in the back foot, in particular in the half back line. It was brilliant to see Richie Hogan after coming back on. He's cross field ball over to the wing back for the pint, showed exactly his vision. TJ Reid's pint at the very end was just absolutely top notch. And then you had the whole back line, Padraig Walsh, etc., with their high field, and it reminds you of JJ and Tommy in their heyday, catching high ball and no fear. But they win that call, you know, and fair play to them. They went at them from the very start, and it was a good physical hard battle. It was a completely different game, but you're just saying about Johnny Glynn, just go back to him. Yeah, I would have started him.
Yeah.
Straight off. I think he's a great man to win a ball and lay it off, and I find the Galway forwards know this, and they're constantly running off from to get the laid off pass.
Johnny Glynn came on after 57 minutes, Brian Concannon after 63, and then Jason Flynn didn't come on until the 70th minute, like Damien said, 69. This is in 30 degree heat. This is madness from Galway. Like, I mean, how are they not refreshing their team, even if lads are playing well? Like, I mean, in that heat, is your squad not good enough? Like, just basically until 70 minutes, they've only brought on two subs.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Even if you're Jason Flynn coming on the field with 2 minutes,
yeah,
3 minutes left, what kind of motivation? Where is your head going to be at?
Yeah.
You're kind of saying, he's brought me on 10 minutes before us. Give me an opportunity to get something, because I know you're the ball.
He's a match winner.
He is a match winner. But like, his motivation going in there, saying, fuck, I've only got 4 or 5 minutes to do something here. Like, you know what I mean? And he probably felt under pressure that he had to go out and get the ball as well. But yeah, it's very frustrating. But even Brian, now in fairness to me, he did kind of freshen it up there throughout the second half there as well.
He did,
about 3 or 4 different forwards as well, like, you know, to
well,
get them
Kion went off for Liam Blanchfield after 48 minutes. Now, that's when I think you should start refreshing your team.
Yeah.
Right, give him 15 minutes of the second half and then start getting lads on, fresh legs. But you see, Cody seems to trust all these lads because he's given so many of them game time.
Yeah, like, good opportunities now, yeah.
But you might not think Kilkenny are as good as they used to be, but the 22 players Cody trusts now, whereas when you were playing, you trusted the 15. And maybe one lad might get on.
Cody still only brought on Richie Hogan on the 57th, 58th minute, and he only brought on Colin Finley on the 62nd minute or 63rd. He wasn't giving them an unbelievable amount of time for, you know. But I know they were saying that this was a game plan to see out the game with a stronger team. But the game was far from over at that stage, you know. So, but it was just funny that the Galway management decided to take off the whole full forward line. which we often laugh over, you know, but the whole full forward line was taken off again, you know. So it was just interesting, but I do think Galway will improve big time. It reminded me a little bit of Galway versus Kilkenny in the 2012 All-Ireland Hurling Final, that we got our chance to beat Kilkenny in the first game and we didn't, and maybe it was Kilkenny's chance last day, but I just think Galway will improve. That game will bring Galway on a lot.
Yeah, no, I think it will. Right, just to finish up there's some stats, and in Croke Park in the media area now they hand you out stats at the end of every game. So I wasn't at this, but these were in the Examiner and they look exactly like the stats that I got at the last football match I was there. So they say Galway to come in, you think the narrative is that Kilkenny hit Galway with everything and they tackled and they hooked and they blocked. Galway made 31 tackles to Kilkenny's 22, and the sides were locked on 5 all in terms of hooks and blocks. So it maybe didn't follow the same way as you might think. Contested aerial balls, Kilkenny 12-9. They came out on top there. Like, considering Galway is such a monstrous team, that's a serious statement, isn't it, JJ? Like, I mean, you must be absolutely delighted with that. Then it's hard to split the sides under puckouts. Kilkenny won 14 of their 30, and Galway won 12 of their 28. But lads, in the modern game, 14 out of 30. This backs up your statement that they're driving them both long. Like, they'll look at those stats and say, look at Galway, 12 of 28.
Yeah.
Long ones.
Yeah.
Galway won't do that the next day.
Yeah, but they're very surprised, but they're doing it. I know James went probably short for two or three now, and I don't know. He went back to him after that again. He went back long again, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Does he have the confidence in the short ones anymore, where he's just wanted, or if he was just told to get up into the full forward? But then when Johnny Glynn came back on in the second half, then again, he was just kind of plan A was to get a high ball as long and as far down to Johnny Glynn's area as possible there as well. Like, but
yeah,
they definitely have to look at it, because it was just playing into the backs' hands on both sides, that when the ball did break, there was four or five Kilkenny backs or four or five Galway backs on the breaks. All you just denied possession and get down on the breaks, and that's what's happening. That's why a lot of throw-ins and frees were happening because of that. Like,
right, okay, so this is probably Kilkenny's bread and butter from the time you're playing. You know what to do in that scenario.
Any back would rather have be touch tight. That's the famous saying that every back in the country, every backline always want to be touch tight because they don't want space. Obviously, it's very, very hard to mark space, you know, but if you have three or four lads there, just they deny possession, so another lad can come in there and pick up the break, and then as the defensive unit, you're all attacking at once then as well. But
yeah,
you're trying to deny possession as much as possible, and you've more opportunity. Once the more backs in around that breaking ball,
exactly,
you have more opportunity getting there as well. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Okay, right, great stuff, lads. We'll come back here with Paddy Power performance of the weekend.
After the match with Marty Morrissey and the Marty squad, and you know, the big thing for me yesterday with Clare versus Galway was,
hang on, did you ask permission to do the Marty squad there?
I didn't, but I was only a special guest. Last Thursday you asked me the same question when I started Bubbles, and I said yes to the Marty squad, said yes, I would have started Bubbles for that game yesterday. That was the first I heard of Johnny King coming back with the Galway squad. You know, I was asked just in the Marty squad.
Here, Damien, are you getting paid for Marty squad plugs on our show here?
That's three.
Wait, no, I do that completely voluntarily.
He hits it. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses! What a match!
Move away from the messing there, lads. Right, we have a serious show to do here. Right.
Paddy Power performance of the weekend, and we're going to start with two nominations from the Joe McDonagh Cup, because we haven't got a chance to mention that yesterday. And like, I mean, having it on the set, I don't think the two provincials should be on the same day.
No.
I think that Joe McDonagh Cup and the Leinster final should be on one week, and then the Munster final another week, and spread them across
Saturday and Sunday, and
yeah,
then alternate then as well, have the Munster final in, say, Semple Stadium Saturday night, have Leinster final Crowbar Sunday. Next year then alternate,
change
have
it around,
have the Saturday and the Sunday again, like, the same weekend.
Yeah,
an opportunity going up to the two games.
It is, but the interesting thing there, JJ, is that the Leinster Championship didn't even start on the same week.
No.
So one championship had 3 weeks and the other had 2 weeks, or was it 4 and 3, one of the two. So what, it makes no sense then to have them on the same weekend. If they both started on the same day, you would be like, you can't give one an extra week over the other, but it was just
probably
illogical.
They're probably looking to give 2 weeks before the quarterfinal, but now with Kilkenny and Galway drawn, whoever loses that now will be playing the following week again, like,
yeah,
in the quarter final.
But could the Munster, which started first? The Leinster,
Leinster started first.
Kilkenny, then why was the Leinster Championship not last weekend? There's no logic to why
no,
it wasn't.
No,
do you know what I mean? Then everyone
doesn't
would
make
have,
sense having the two big is going to
on the same day. It is disappointing because even Cheddar was heartbroken here on Thursday. He says, I'm going to have to change the habits of a lifetime now. I'm going to go down to the Munster final. I'm going to miss the Leinster final. And he was a bit distraught about the fact he was missing Leinster.
Even the Munster final of football was on a Saturday night down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It was a great occasion. Yeah. Like, sure, why not have one Saturday night and one Sunday?
Yeah.
Give people opportunity to go to the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so this Joe McDonagh Cup, who will we nominate out of the... Well, you'd imagine Carlow nominations are more than Westmeath. I saw Owen Price scored 6 from midfield. Now, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Whether they were all from play or not. He obviously stood out. Chris Nolan in the corner, he got 1-4.
Chris Nolan, very, very good. Kind of story of the match was, they were kind of going for pint, Westmeath and Carlow. The scoreline looks that Carlow won comfortably. The big turning point was Westmeath had a chance of a goal right before half time. He was number 5, he was playing midfield, he was going straight through, he actually stopped and he wanted Ruford into the top of net. He scored a pint instead of going for the goal. Well, he went for the goal, but he scored a pint instead. Carlow puck out, went down, and they got a goal straight off. I think James Lyle got the goal off, but the difference was that James Lyle got the opportunity and he hit it into the ground. It was a forwards finish, it was a natural finish, whereas Westmeath guy now just went to blast the net over, and then come in after half time, came out second half, then Carlow hit him with another goal after that then was just seen out the game. But Chris Nolan and James Dyle in the full forward line, they played a 2 inside in the full forward line and Westmeath couldn't handle them whatsoever.
Really?
They weren't able for them whatsoever. They pulled on 3 or 4 different guys on the 2 lads, but they were the difference of the two teams. Was the two lads in the full forward line.
Right.
Chris Nolan was brilliant, winning his own ball, taking on the corner back and scoring. He scored fabulous points there as well. But
really?
Edward Byrne there, wing forward number 12, left-handed hurler, brilliant to win the puck out there as well. That was their plan from the puck out, hit him as much as possible, win the ball and then get into the guys as much as possible. But first thing, Westmeath played a sweeper in the first 10 minutes, they were dominating the game, then Carlo found a way around the sweeper and then got the ball, quality ball into the two guys in full forwarding. That was the big difference then.
Right, okay. And was the quality of ball going in really good quality? At Joe McDonagh Club level, are they going through the lines like that's the way it is in the
senior? Westmeath were going through the lines a lot. They were even going backwards when they're finding the man. They always wanted to find the man, whereas after the first 10 minutes Carlo found a way around the sweeper. The kind of sweeper was hurling well for the first 10 minutes. After that then they were hitting it out into the corners, and the two guys in, once they got over Westmeath's half back lane, the two guys in the full forward lane went to town for the whole day. He did no answer for him, really, to be honest.
When they brought out their corner forward, did he go down a sweep on his own side, or did
he played around it? He brought the full back out Dial from Westmeath there as well,
right?
And he was,
so that was a good plan to get him out of there.
He was their best player as well, like, you know, and he wasn't allowed to play in his natural full back lane there as well, so they brought him out. But then for Westmeath's puck, he went back in, and then obviously then when the ball was in play, he brought him back out the field again and left a lot of space for two guys in the full forward in there as well.
Right, okay.
Very good.
You played against a lot of these Carlow lads, Damien, in a club all Ireland. So, like, I mean, where would you see this Carlow team at?
The Carlow team were managed by Cormac Bonner, so they were, you know, native of Cashel and the Tipperary legend size, right? They had Mount Leinster Rangers. We played them in a club at Ireland, so we did a couple of years ago, and there was 11 on the panel, 8 on the first 15. There's 4 senior clubs in Carlow. I think actually they play some of their league hurling, so they do in Kilkenny. And as I said, we played them in a club at Ireland, and they were, by all means, they were very, very competitive. You have to remember that they bet Owlert, so they did, who were after beating, was it Ballyhale in the Leinster Championship, and then they beat Lochiel the same year, and then they played those up in Croke Park. Now, we got the better man today, but I tell you one thing, it was no easy game for us up in Croke Park. They got stuck into it, and they're well able to hold to their probably name up there actually is up there is the Cody, so there's, and there were a good few of them on it there. I thought it was a great little championship. It was very interesting to follow it. So it was, you know, on Joe IE and all these now 42 and all that, right? But just it was a brilliant championship. But what I love about it is the two teams now go into the round robin and they go into the qualifiers. It is an opportunity, but by Carlow winning this, they go into the Leinster Championship next year. Now, I know they want to get it difficult enough, but look, it's progression, it shows where they're at. It's now something new for them Carlow players to, you know, go training hard, getting into better physical condition and getting to play against top class teams in top class venues. Like, imagine Carlow going to Nolan Park next year to play against Kilkenny, or even maybe Carlow going all the way down to Pearce Stadium to play against Galway. Now, I know it's going to be a tough day in the office for them, but at least it's a great opportunity for them to play against top class players, and it's great to see the likes of Carlow winning competitions and winning cups in the likes of Croke Park, which for me makes a Joe McDonagh an absolute massive success.
Yeah, I think it's a massive success as well. So where is the likes of Carlo falling off the bigger teams, JJ? Is it because it's just a basic skill level of skill, first touch?
Just the speed, really, more than. But then they're up in Division 1B now next year as well in the league, so that will kind of give them a great opportunity to get up to scratch before. They're not going in cold into the Leinster Championship now, for argument's sake, so they will be playing top class teams, and they're a great opportunity. I think it's a good thing as well that they actually have a home game against Limerick now next Sunday as well.
Yeah, that'll show them where they're at.
Yeah, and Westmeath are home as well, so that should give the advantage to the guys that play in their playing next weekend, like, you know. But yeah, I suppose there's just a speed of doing things, really, more than anything. But they're probably their best forward. Kavanagh is away for Carlo. He's away in America as well, so
he'll be raging.
He'll be sticking around there next year again, like, you know. And with the two lads in the full foreign, if they have him as well, like, you know, they're going to cause damage no matter who they play as well. Like, but yeah, it's great for him, absolutely brilliant. Because I was actually sitting in the middle of the Carlo crowd now as well now, and they were as passionate as any supporters out there as well. They were absolutely delighted, and then they all went down and got photos of the lads lifting the cup there, and we're actually going back through Carlo there again yesterday, and they're all celebrating in Carpenters there as well in the pub in Carlo too. So it's absolutely brilliant to see, like.
Yeah, no, it is. And, like, I mean, Cheddar gives out about the Joe McDonagh Cup, and I can see where he's coming from, because, like, while Laois wouldn't be top county now, Laois would have a good hurling tradition in that the 80s, you know, they've been strong and they've been able to put it up to Offaly and good teams, and we were good, like, we're in Division 1 during the 90s as well. And I can see why a team that is a traditional county would be pissed off not being in the Leinster, or I can see why Offaly, obviously a much bigger example than Laois. But for teams like Carlo and Westmeath, Damien, like, this is a brilliant, brilliant championship, and this is exactly what these counties want.
The way I look at it, you've seen the way the table was. I think up to the very last week, any of four teams could have gone to the final, right? And then at the bottom end of the table, there was any of something like, was it three or four teams that could have been playing the relegation final. They were all at their own level. It was so competitive. All the players were playing top class games. They were all playing against each other, as in at a really competitive level, right? So the argument is these guys are getting top class games. They're playing really tough games. They're training for this. They get the opportunity to play in what we call the Joe McDonagh Cup final, right? Which is in Croke Park. That's the first incentive. Then the second incentive is who wins it goes into the Leinster Championship, right? Now, the second way of looking at it is, right, you can scrap competition and let's put the Carlos and the Laois and all these boys, even the Kerrys, back into their Munster Championship, and next thing they get hockeyed.
Or the Leinster,
right?
Championship.
Week in, week out, right? So then I think it's a great little championship, and I said it and I'll still say it, where you take now an extra Offaly are in this Joe McDonagh Cup, and it's up to Offaly now, who might like being in this Joe McDonagh Cup, it's up to Offaly now to push on and get back up over it. It's basically the Premiership and the Championship, right? And if you think you're too good for the Championship in soccer or the Joe McDonagh, just basically go and win out the competition and get back up into the top tier. But I personally think it's a good championship. I think it's a good format. I think it's very exciting. It's maybe the only downfall I would have to it, or maybe negative, is that there's no one airing a couple of more games. There's not more press on it, you know, even in the newspapers and all that stuff. Maybe it should get a little bit more recognition, right? But on the other ground of games and top quality matches and it being competitive and being close and being a great championship, I thought it was a huge success.
Yeah, no, exactly. But see, a lot of them give out about recognition and media coverage and all, and, like, I mean, what's your motivation for playing? It's not always media coverage. It's for bloody enjoyment and maybe winning something. I think you have to earn media coverage. Like, you can't split media coverage across every game. Like, I mean, where do you stop at that stage? Like, I mean, the top level commands the media, and I often hear, like, really badly supported teams or some of the weaker teams complaining about media coverage when they're not even able to get fans in their own county interested in them, you know what I mean? Never mind the media coverage. So I don't buy. I do take the point of having it on the television before the Leinster final. Like, there was no chance this year because of the Munster final. Like, they definitely deserved that. And I'm sure there was media coverage of the match yesterday of the teams that got into the final, but I do find it hard when it's competing with the very top level.
I think that it should be, you know, I know you're saying that the Munster final was on just before the Leinster final, but I think, to be fair to the Joe McDonagh Cup and to be fair to the two counties that are in the final, I personally think that at least they deserve is the respect that the match is shown on TV. We all agree on that, which is brilliant, right? But it's just a pity that it didn't happen, because it was a great little championship. And you take the Gaelic Ladies Association, right? All them games are on TV, the finals, like this, which is only proper order, you know, and they put in as much effort and as much time into the game. And it's great to see the likes of the junior All-Ireland and the intermediate All-Ireland and then the senior All-Ireland, right? But maybe for next year, and it's something that has to be said at council or whatever, that the likes of the Joe McDonagh Cup, you know, and maybe even the Christy Ring Cup, that the actual finals at least should be aired on TV in live, you know, because in fairness, them players deserve their TV as well, you know. It's the least it is between as much effort. They mightn't be as good as the Galway and the Kilkenny and the Cork and all these, right? But they're still putting in as much effort and they deserve a little bit of credit.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And just finally on that is that RT showed no interest in the Joe McDonagh Cup. Sky showed no interest in the Joe McDonagh Cup. So why doesn't TG4 air or some broadcaster who does have an interest in it, like obviously Sky and RT have the bigger games and not criticising, they're not going to pick a Joe McDonagh Cup game over a Munster Championship game, but why not sell it to air or sell it to a broadcaster that will show it? Have the bloody games on telly. Sell them. Sell the Joe McDonagh Cup to somebody else. Right, we are in Paddy Power performance of the weekend. It was Owen Price and Chris Nolan who was nominated out of there. We have a couple of other, I have to mention the poll lads who I've overruled this before. My phone's gone on a lock here. So the poll, I'm going with the poll now, because we're out of time here. We've gone way over and I'm just going to say who won it, and we're not talking about anyone because most of them are from Cork and we've talked about them already. So Owen Price got 8% of the vote. See, there you go, 8%. Look, you want us
to, it was
on
telly, it would have been more.
Yeah, well that's true. How can you vote for someone when you haven't seen them? Patrick Horgan is second last, surprisingly enough, 27%. Pádraig Walsh of Kilkenny is at 28%, just pips Patrick Horgan, so the Kilkenny fans are out in force voting for him. But the winner on 37% of the vote, and I agree with it, and I think the lads will as well, is Seamus Harnady. Really stepped up to the mark, played a captain's part, 1-4. 1-4 is not bad. 1-4 captain and a Munster title. Jeez, it doesn't get any better than that. Like I said to him there in the interview. Right, listen, that's always time for some congratulations to Seamus Harnady. I obviously didn't know that when he interviewed him yesterday. I'm sure I could have mentioned it to him. So he's going to get a pair of Paddy Power boxers. And we'll be back Thursday where we'll preview these two, the two quarterfinals. And we might get somebody from Westmeath and Carlow on as well. Right, good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.